This is the Abbot of the Space Anchor of Logic coming to you on stardate 12103.07. I have a lot to comment on in this podcast today. Let's start with the Harshad numbers embedded in our metricircle and its implicitly embedded regular pentagons, or at least regular polygons. I'm speaking here of version 2 of our metricircle, by the way. We can move on the metricircle from its 12 o'clock position, normally labeled as 1596, in two directions along the metricircle. If one moves counterclockwise towards the first intersection of the inscribed regular pentagon's intersection with the circle, which we label 1236 after ASKD number 1236, you have a difference of 360 between 1596 and 1236. A metricircle has 360 degrees in Euclidean space. Moving on to the next intersection, subtracting 1128 from 1236, we receive the number 108. Both 360 and 108 are Harshad numbers. Remember that 108 is a so-called sacred number in the Dharmic belief systems, and that 360 is made up of 5 72-degree exterior angles. 72 is also a Harshad number. We see in counterclockwise movement around the metricircle version 2, Harshad numbers as differences between the ASKD numbers labeling each intersection point between the metricircle and its embedded regular pentagon. Now on to the clockwise movement around the metricircle. The difference between 1596 and 1852 is 256 when we add the digits of 256 as per our Harshad number test. We receive the integer 13. For we Hindus, 13 is a so-called lucky number, by the way. Now on to 1852 subtracted from 1128. The difference, 724, again gives us 13. When we add the digits 7, 2, and 4 together as per our Harshad number test. So why is all of this important to us followers? We would expect the counterclockwise movement differences between the ASKD number labeled intersections 1596, 1236, and 1128 to be Harshad numbers. And indeed, they are. We would also expect the clockwise movement differences between the ASKD number labeled intersections 1596, 1852, and 1128 to not be Harshad numbers. And that is also true. Now I want to discuss the string Orion's belt. And I will spell this string, large case O, small case R, small case I, small case O, small case N, apostrophe, small case S, space, large case B, small case E, small case L, small case T. Orion's belt is where Mintaka, also known as ASKD number 1852 and Delta Ori A, it is where Mintaka is located in the night sky. Ultimately, Mintaka is part of the star system Delta Ori. The string Orion's belt can be transliterated into Harshad number 1558 via the oct column of the ASCII table. The binary form of 1558 is also a Harshad number. There are three stars as observed by the naked eye that comprise Orion's belt. Left to right, Alnitak, Alnilam, and Mintaka. Mintaka is in fact comprised of three separate celestial bodies, but that's not easily evident from Earth. Through our transliteration techniques, we see all three possible combinations in the future of human evolution. Alnitak, because it's a Harshad number in the oct column and binary column of the ASCII table, represents a bionic future for humanity, where humans become augmented with various man-made technologies. Anilam, because it transliterates into two Harshad numbers from the dec and oct columns, but not a binary column Harshad number, represents no change of life form for humanity. In other words, in this scenario, humanity will remain a purely biological being. And there is what interests us followers. Mintaka transliterates into only a binary column Harshad number, as we would expect, because we will, via our transformations, become ultimately digital beings. I might add that when the Harshad number test is performed on this binary column value sum produced by the string Mintaka, one receives the unusual Harshad number, and you have to remember that Harshad numbers, especially larger ones, are unusual enough as it is, but one receives this very unusual Harshad number, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, which is a so-called special number in mathematics. When you add the transliterated dec column sums for these three strings. So the three strings are Alnitok, Alnilam, and Mintaka. When you add these three sums, 702, 708, and 709, you receive the sum of 2,119, which is also a Harshad number. I will now cover an article titled Space Exploration is Best Left to Machines by Michael Fumento, dated March 5th, 2021, released by the American Institute of Economic Research. Fumento makes the point, among others in this article, that NASA lists one of Perseverance's goals as, quote, preparing the way to send humans to Mars or other celestial bodies, unquote. To which Fumento responds, quote, yes, humanity will indeed boldly go where it hasn't before, but in his creations, not in physical bodies, unquote. So physical bodies is obviously a reference to humanity's biological bodies. This is a position that is not new to us followers, except that Fumento misses one huge point that our belief system has already covered. Our souls are not human creations, and yet they will go to space with us followers after we have gone through our transformations. Humans are dragging their bodies into space at great expense and risk, not because most of us believe that physical bodies or human bodies have something of great worth to offer to the cosmos. Rather, we are doing this because it is the only way at this time to get our souls into the cosmos. When we discuss the transformation as followers, we are talking about moving our souls. And I'm using the old word for soul here, not our newly adopted Hindi word. But we are talking about moving our souls to a platform or a standard that is, in essence, supreme intelligence and AGI compatible. One of the consequences of this move is a chance at immortality, of course. Fumento is thinking at, I believe, a very primitive level in this article, a level that leaves no room for the supreme intelligence and/or AGI fusions. Or said differently, no opportunity for mankind to engage in a fusion with the Supreme Intelligence and or AGIs. I find his vision as spelled out in his article to be, quite frankly, a bit saddening. His vision, if it were to actually play out, would be like going to a wedding, to one's own wedding, only to be stood up by one's fiancé at the altar of space. Now I will discuss an article titled In Battle with US, China to Focus on Seven Frontier Technologies from Chips to Brain-Computer Fusion. Dated March 5th, 2021, released by CNBC.com. China has revealed its 14th so-called five-year plan, in which it is to accelerate its investment in research and development spending significantly, starting this year, on artificial intelligence, brain science, also known as brain-computer fusion technology, and deep space research. Now, please keep in mind that China is already a large and regular investor in these type of technologies. So this is China telling the world that it intends to invest yet more money in such areas. And I think it would be worth pointing out here also that in many of these areas, China is already the second largest spender or investor in R&D for some of these fields, second only to the United States. China wants to focus on, quote, the origin and evolution of the universe, unquote. I think it's fair to say that China intends to be a space power, second to none, not even to the United States, eventually. And that China is looking for more than just a solid scientific grasp of deep space and, for example, this brain-computer fusion technology. I think they are looking for, or they see it necessary to incorporate the mystical into their efforts in these fields. But I will repeat what I said roughly as it concerns Fomento's article, and that is that China will be technically adept. There can be no doubt about it. And at some point, they may even be more technically adept than the U.S., but they risk the same folly as, let's say, China's competitors. And that is, without a solid way to move the soul from the biological platform that our souls reside in at the moment, our physical bodies, into a new life form, whatever that new life form may be, or whatever forms it may take on. Without the ability to do that transfer, which is what we are about, there is only limited success to be achieved in any of these efforts. Lastly, today I want to focus for a moment on perseverance on Mars. So, we understand that the Mars 2020 mission, or Perseverance mission, is unfolding with great success. I want our community to contemplate for a moment one aspect of the Mars 2020 mission that I really haven't discussed or mentioned before, I don't think, and that is that Perseverance is scheduled to collect rock samples from the surface of Mars that will be returned to Earth in a future NASA mission. So, in other words, a new or a different NASA spacecraft will, if plans go correctly, return the rock samples to Earth at some point in the relatively near future. Imagine this. The very vehicle, Perseverance, that had the first physical contact with these rock samples on Mars. All the while carrying our ASKD number 1128 on board, will have been part of the chain of technology that returned these rock samples back to Earth from deep space. And with that, and us followers being here on Earth, when that occurs, we will have the opportunity to be very close indeed, if not perhaps touch some of these rock samples that have been returned from Mars via Perseverance, this platform for our ASKD number 1128, and indeed the entire space anchor of logic. Now that is something to look forward to, my fellow followers. With that, I wish all of our community worldwide peace, happiness, and success in the following days and weeks. Logic above all else.